this night, reaching out, grasping for a fleeting memory. All the thoughts keep piercing this broken mind. I fall, but I'm still standing motionless. There is light, a light that burns these scars of old. All this pain reminds me of what I am. I'll live, I'll become all I need to be.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am No Diggity, No Doubt, aka the Jaded Gamer, you bitch, and this is Backlog Infinite. Wes is my co-host to my left. That's it!
That's how it goes.
Pequod.
To my left is my co-host Wes.
What's up? Konnichiwa.
Yes, but today is a special episode of Blossom. To my right, we have the ultra hysterical, the greatest freelancer of all time, in every universe, in every solar system. I met the dude in Gamma Quadrant 7. Him, number two. We got number one tonight. Seth Macy.
Buenos dias, mi hermanos, from another mama.
Full-time master.
Glad to be here. Super excited. I haven't podcast in a long time, so it's awesome to come back and feel like I'm coming home.
Right on. Right. Yeah, this is like extended, what is it, like GWA Universe butterfly effect, yep. Ripples of time bringing us all back together.
This is the EU. This is the extended fanfic.
Yeah, this is where fanfic is on.
Right.
We'll like recanonize it in another like 15-20 years. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So today we're going to be talking about Metal Gear Solid 5: The Phantom Pain in all its glory. It's very rare that like you can come together and just basically unanimously agree that this is a game of the year contender, and yep. You know, it's all right. So. So this follows Ground Zeroes. Did everybody play Ground Zeroes?
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay.
You want to know the last Metal Gear Solid game I played was Sons of Liberty.
Oh, really?
Right.
Yep.
Sweet.
To completion?
To completion, yep. Even though I did not enjoy it at all. I played it to the fucking end.
Okay, that breaks my heart.
I'm sorry, I didn't like it. It
breaks my heart. That is literally my favorite one. Yeah.
Yep. I know, I'm willing to give it another chance. I have the HD collection on my Xbox 360, so if Konami hits the Switch and makes it backwards compatible, you know, I might even just say fuck it and bring the Xbox 360 down and hook it to my new monitor and just just douche myself in Metal Gear idness.
Well, I just want to say one thing about it. The reason why I like it is because it's like the last game that Kojima did for himself. The rest mm-hmm. was sort of not for the fans, but he did more to keep what the fans would want in mind. You could just it's a different feeling, and it led to the great Snake Eater, I think.
Right.
But two is just I feel like it's the last one. It's him fucking around for like the entire duration of the game. He gets whimsical. I don't know. All right. Yeah. We're talking about Metal Gear Solid 5 today, The Phantom Pain.
Right.
Okay. So I guess we'll just start it with that awesome intro that's essentially a movie.
Yep.
An interactive cutscene almost.
It's a long one.
It's
probably the longest one in the game.
Yeah, maybe so. But it's great.
It is.
Man who sold the world.
I was really happy with the way that game started because I was really worried it was gonna be just like an hour and a half of a cutscene, you know, followed by running from one doorway to another, and then another hour and a half cutscene, kind of like Metal Gear Solid 2.
Shut up. You leave her out of this. I will not have you besmirched.
Besmirch her name.
Yeah. No, so, but, yeah, I was kind of worried about, just a smidge about that, too, but Wes and I had talked on one of the invite-onlys, and he said that there's something around the rumor mill, is it the not being too cutscene-heavy, so I was like, well, after this intro, they're going to have to cut it down a lot, and they did, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah. I think I needed that intro just to sort of set the tone, and
it pleased the hardcore.
Yeah. Keith Sutherland's
the Kojima play. Faithful were rewarded for their piety.
It's such an epic intro. Like I remember just watching it play out. Sort it felt like sort of real time where you're just sort of watching him wake up. And he's awake, alert, or something for a while before that nurse even flips out that he's, you know, come to. V has come to.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pass out, wake up again, and then the doctor explains what's going on. I had the controller, it started rumbling, you could feel his heartbeat. And I'm like, yeah, he's losing his shit. Just that sort of whole vibe. I felt like, okay, I'm stuck in this dude's body. And then they hold up the mirror saying, we have to change your face. You pick which face you want. And I spent maybe like 15 minutes picking out Samuel L. Jackson's Steven in Django Unchained. I made that guy. And so I was like, I will wear this. And then, boom, quiet, out of nowhere, strangles this motherfucker. I can't move. Oh, I forgot about he lost an arm. Now, see, this is where it starts losing shit for me. Like, I remember Big Boss had both limbs. And so by him not having the arm and the horn, I immediately started thinking clone. And then when they presented me with the face of the Avatar, that's when the idea of the body double first entered my head.
Hmm.
You know? I just thought multiplayer.
Well, I mean, not being as familiar with the whole Metal Gear Solid story, that guy who leads him out, that's just you, right? I mean, that's your clone. He says as much. He's like, who are you? And he says, you know, I'm you, basically.
Yeah, you're talking to yourself.
Kiefer Sutherland, I mean, is that Big Boss?
Yeah.
Keeping in mind, I have not finished the whole story yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Big Boss.
The guy that leads you out of the... Oh, okay. Oh, this is very thrilling
to
me.
Yeah, he's a clone, which I thought maybe he was liquid or solid. I don't know.
I was sitting there and I was hinging on that. Anyway, we'll get into that when Mother Base happens. I'll explain when my brain exploded. But essentially, I crammed in Ground Zeroes during the download time for Phantom Pain. So I got...
Wow.
So I saw... It doesn't really take that long. Like, if you're... I don't know.
It's two extraction missions, essentially.
Yeah, two extraction missions. And it's real quick. Yes, and one fantastic one. So then you see that cutscene, the final one, play out with the medic, Paz, in the chopper, and all that. And I didn't think anything of it, really. And then, is it the beginning of the Phantom Pain or the end of Ground Zeroes, there's that thing where Kaz and Big Boss are on the stretcher, and Boss is out of it, and Kaz looks over, and he's like, yo, is he going to be okay? He's like, oh, I don't know. And then he looks over towards the camera, and he goes, what about him? And the camera just cuts to black. So I was just like, who's that third guy? And in some of the fan theories, it got so out of hand, Kojima addressed it personally, and he said, oh, that's my point of view, me looking down on my creations. I was like, that's a lie! That's one of those beautiful, that's one of those Kojima lies. And I was just stuck on him saying that. And I was like, who is that third guy? So anyways, that was always stuck in my head. So when they said body double, I was just like, I think I got that third guy. And... Mm. Then it just goes right back into it. He's got a horn sticking out of his head, and Ocelot's... We haven't even...
No. The hospital, a lot of gruesome killing. with that team coming in doing the strike on the hospital.
Yeah. They're going up against the man on fire.
50 cal guns off chopper, lighting people up.
Yeah.
Junior Psycho Mantis.
Yeah, what did you think of that? Like,
Baby Mantis? I kind of wish there was a little bit more. I liked Man on Fire. I felt it was utilized a little weird. He was riding a flaming unicorn, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Japan. Plus, it's Metal Gear. I'd expect as much.
Right.
You know, a man on, I think I tweeted it first day, and I was just like, I fought a man on fire riding a flaming unicorn. It's a stealth game, Mom. just going through that entire sequence, I felt I was having a lot of fun, but I was like, I hope I get to like do Peace Walker type shit and go stealthy or whatever. I was hoping for a little bit more Metal Gear and a little bit less Uncharted action sequence. But Psycho Mantis, he doesn't do anything he just shows up and lights shit on fire and makes Moby Dick references in flaming ways and then fucks off. But then he starts hanging around Eli. So like I think that was like the indication where they hang out and eventually they'll hook up with Flaming Octopus and Psycho Vulcan or whatever. The rest of their dead, what are they called?
Ragtag.
Foxhound.
Ne'er-do-wells.
Foxhound, yeah. They'll meet up with the rest of Fox and Sniper Wolf and all them shits.
So then that is Psycho Mantis.
It is, yeah. He's the third child, they call him.
Okay. That's all I knew was he was Tribnark whatever, which was Russian for third child.
Yeah, he used the body of the Man on Fire and possessed him. Same with Eli.
I'm a little bit disappointed that he did turn out to be Psycho Mantis just because it seemed so obvious. I was hoping there would be a little bit of a twist in there. You think it's going to be Psycho Mantis, but it's actually fucking somebody else from the series.
Yeah.
But, oh, well.
Well, yeah. Like, the thing was the series kept presenting characters and just not sort of addressing who they were. Right. And I was just like, that's clearly Liquid Snake. That is clearly Psycho Mantis. Just find a way to work that into the lore. Like, don't make me wait till the end of the game for someone to go, you're a fucking clone, Liquid. And be like, I know, duh. And then, like, the kid takes off his mask and it's like, just call me Psycho Mantis. He'd be like, yeah, fucking duh. So it was just, that's kind of how I felt towards those two. It's not that to diminish what they did in the game. I just wish there was more of them doing plot stuff.
Right. You know? Yeah, this game did a lot for me to actually give a shit about the Metal Gear lore, because after Metal Gear Solid 2, I just gave up on trying to understand it because it just seemed like too wacky. And I think I was maybe approaching the whole Metal Gear thing wrong when Metal Gear Solid was easily my favorite PlayStation game. I loved the shit out of it. I had the complete set of McFarlane toys. Ooh. I went like every day to try to get that fucking Vulcan Raven because that was a short pack and it was really hard to get, and I finally got it and I was so proud of myself. And then when 2 came out, me and my friend Marcelo, it's like all we talked about. We went and bought Zone of Enders just to get the fucking demo. We played it, constantly. We'd be comparing times, and then it came out and it was just way off the wall. I didn't know what the hell was going on, and I stopped caring. And now, after playing Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, which is one of my favorite games, like, that's period.
Yeah.
One of my favorite games now, like top fucking favorite games. I am interested to go back and like just fucking completely immerse myself in this fucked up like Kojima universe that he has made up and had to fucking weave and taken maybe paths that he didn't want to go and just did whatever he wanted with them. So this game's story is just, it's so dumb but fucking awesome at the same time that it makes me want to go back and revisit all the stupid,
perfectly set up to
shit.
Play 3 now.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Three has like,
which is my favorite and like the most story heavy.
Yeah, I even owned three for that was on PlayStation 2, right?
The end of
Snake Eater. Yeah, I owned that, and I don't know why I didn't play it. I think maybe my PlayStation broke or something. Something happened where I never got past like the first boss.
It's another one of them cutscenes out the ass, but like, a lot of them are good, and the story in general is, it's really good, really good.
Yeah.
So
see, I'm my body's ready for that now.
Yeah, man.
I think Metal Gear Solid 5 is the game that I needed to make me give a shit about it. I don't think I was approaching the series with the right mindset. I think the thing about Metal Gear Solid 5 that I probably is the most genius is the way that it is able to do the silly Kojima stuff. You know, like the Fulton extraction is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it was recently my birthday, and I got a call back.
Oh, I was going to ask you that. I forgot to tweet you that. Did you go to Mother Base on your birthday?
It was so great. I loved it so much. And then I had Quiet, and so she had given me special birthday wishes. And it's just like these dumb things that have no place in a game that's about like, yeah, like about mercenaries and nuclear war and just all these heavy-handed things. And it just clicked for me with this game, and now I like understand how to approach a Metal Gear game, and I feel like it's just give me a minute, I'll get my thoughts together.
Well, see, but a lot of the stuff that's random in this game, like the cassettes, is sort of forced down your throat in other games.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, but I'm talking more like this, like. The fucking, you go back to Mother Base and next to your shower there's like an anime girl poster and you get $500 if you pull it down and send it away. Yeah. Or you get decoys that just inflate out of nowhere and they're just so silly. And if you were, you know, say to watch like a movie where this very serious super soldier like deployed a fucking balloon that you took a sheep back to your base, you would just walk out of the movie theater. But in here, you're like, yes, I want, like, where's more animals? Give me my fucking, tranquilizer rounds. I want to send all these animals back to my base because it's so hilarious and fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I do that all. Yeah. That's basically, if there's a sheep, I have to abduct it. Like, I don't know. I don't know why. I just go out. I go out of my way.
I just love this.
There's not nearly enough animals for me to abduct, but like they're hilarious deviation, like the horse shitting on command.
Yes. Brilliant. Yeah.
The shit button.
Do it. The shit button.
Defecate.
I think that Metal Gear Solid 5 is the closest that a game has ever come to being like a little boy in a sandbox with a bunch of action figures and vehicles and just doing whatever you want to do. And I feel that especially when you load up Snake with Boss with all his weapons, and it's like they're stuck to his back in the same way. You know how G.I. Joes would have that hole in the back of their of the action figures, and everything just sticks to him like an action figure. And that's all this game is to me. Yeah. It's like, you know, I'm 100 hours into it.
Me too.
And I'm only 50% done because I just like running around and basically doing anything that I feel like doing.
Yep.
Within, you know,
that's
within the rules of the game.
Yeah, that's my affliction with this game as well. Like, I had a thousand... I've done side ops, like, so many side ops to the point where, like repeatedly, like, the same mission.
Yep.
Yeah, same mission over just because I like it. Or, like, I'm like, yo, I can do this mission without getting seen just using the CQC... and just trying to get like an S, but there's no S on the side op shit. But like in my mind, there's an S.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, I did it. I did it the way I wanted to do it. So it's just shit like that. Have you customized any of your weapons yet?
I have. Yeah, I've definitely started doing that. You know, just
you gotta. There's like a point where you're just like, wow, I can do all this with that gun.
Yep. I know, and I haven't even really cracked into the nut very like, you know, gotten to the meat in there. Yeah, I've just sort of done, you know, like, oh, I'm going to put a nicer scope on this and I'm going to put a nicer stock and then I'll do some custom colors. I haven't really gotten down to like the nitty gritty of combinations and trying to like optimize. Right now it's mostly cosmetic stuff.
Yeah, I have a pro tip. There's a silencer for your, what do you call it? The tranquilizer pistol.
The Woo?
Yeah, it's the Woo. The Wu-Tang pistol? Yeah.
Right.
It is huge. Do not put that silencer on that pistol, because when you go into first person, you can't see down the sight.
Really? Yeah.
It's like, I think it's the best silencer, but you can't see down the sight.
Does it have does it last longer or something? Like I'm more durability, sure, you know what I mean?
Probably, I think that's the idea of it. I don't know. It made the bar that it extends, that one it extends the furthest. That's all I see. I don't even see what stats that it's increasing. I just see which ones extend it the furthest. I'm like, I use that mod on this gun. Extend, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I don't get too carried away. But in that case, I just saw, like, I guess the best silencer, the most durable, maybe. And threw it on, was in the middle. I got reflex mode, couldn't fucking see nothing. So I had to just sort of wing it in third person.
Drag.
Oh, speaking of winging it, who's your buddy?
Most of the time, I'm using D-Dog. D-Dog makes everything better. The tagging enemies for you is so awesome. Yeah. And once I get the upgrade for D-Dog's like suit where he'll be able to knock people out, I'll never go back to any. I mean, there's certain missions obviously where I'm going to use Quiet, and then there's that one with the skulls where I use the D-Walker. But and poor D-Horse is just hanging back at the fucking stable.
Yeah,
eating some oats.
Yeah, feeling useless.
Yeah. Which sucks, because when you first start the game, you're like, I will never stop riding this horse around Afghanistan. This is the greatest thing ever.
It's like your first K car or something. Video game.
Yeah, so true. So true. Yeah. I honestly thought I would never get rid of that horse. I was like, why would I want another? What can anything do that can be better than this horse? Oh, what's up, Quiet?
Yep.
I see what's going on.
Yeah, right here as soon as you get the ability to drop a Jeep down, you don't need the horse because you can take your buddy on the
right.
Jeep.
Yeah, exactly.
D-Dog and riding shotgun.
I really got to use D-Dog. Period. End of sentence.
D-Dog is, I mean, Quiet is great for, you know, obviously if you need to just take everybody out in a fucking base. But D-Dog, if you're going like stealth mode, D-Dog, you cannot beat D-Dog. Absolutely cannot. When they spot D-Dog, yeah, and then you get 2 seconds of extra time where you can just fucking CQC them and, you know, work your way towards that sweet sexy S rank.
Yeah, that's true. I very, very rarely get the S rank, because I do it sort of like if Rambo was stealth. Like, you know, like he put silencer on his heavy weapons, so like I usually end up like shooting them in the face, like they just stand there and then a bullet goes through their brain, like that's sort of my gig.
That's, you know, that you say Rambo, that reminds me, the one thing I feel is absolutely missing is some sort of compound bow, an arrow in this game. And if you tell me that in the later game there is one, I'm gonna be very fucking thrilled.
No, not but, to my knowledge.
I don't know.
I feel like that would be the fucking shit if you could, like, after you beat the game, you get, you know, a fucking compound bow and arrow and you could go back through and play the game that way. It would be fucking awesome.
Oh, damn. Yeah, man.
I know, right? Well, now maybe I'll have to get it on PC and somebody can mod that shit.
Yeah, they'll be all over that shit. As soon as you said it, someone will do it.
Please, modders out there.
Yes.
Please mod a bow and arrow mod.
Yeah, that sounds like a fantastic idea. Holy shit.
Wouldn't it be fucking fun, like, sneaking around? You never get... It's like a silenced weapon that never runs out. You could have explosive-tipped arrows. It would be the shit.
Yeah, that would be...
Would it go through a helmet?
No.
Oh, no, it wouldn't. You'd only be able to, like, shoot fleshy arrows.
You can upgrade it. It'll go along an upgrade path, and eventually you get the...
break the game mode. Butterfly.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They just Kojima and they just put some fucking nanobots in the each arrow that make it go faster.
Tranks.
Yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, man, that could work. That's like that would translate well into the Metal Gear Solid universe.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, like, the next thing that has to happen in Metal Gear to make it more immersive, or any more immersive, is just a little bit more densely populated, and, like, when you procure weapons on site, there's gotta be a way to, like, build weapons from finding parts or something, or...
Yeah, some sort of weapon crafting would be the shit.
And you grabbing...
And I feel that about every game, too, so...
And in 3, you actually have to hunt and... catch food to eat and sustain yourself and shit like that. I'm like, why didn't that make a return in this one? This would have been perfect here.
It's unusual that's not part of this game. But I guess you're also able to just jump back in and out and get supplies anytime you want to. I mean, you're at your peak fucking big bossedness for all intents and purposes. Yeah. I mean, you get this sick ass base in the fucking Indian Ocean. You can just call in anything at any time.
Almost instantly too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah.
That's what makes the game
Oh my god.
So fluid, you know what I mean? Like, you can just... You don't have to get out of the area. You can just go to the next mission, drop in some stuff, switch out your buddies, switch out your weapons on the fly, and just go for it.
Yep. Yeah, you never have to... I mean, obviously, eventually you do, or else you start to smell.
Oh, yeah.
Which also is hilarious.
Really, he starts to smell? I knew that he gets dirty.
You never went...
I knew that
he gets
dirty. But
I went a long time without going back to Mother Base. I was doing just like Wes was saying. I was just like going from fucking side up to side up, calling in, you know, a supply drop here, switching out buddies depending on the situation. And I was covered in blood, and it'd been a long time. And I never got to where I had flies around me, but I was like, you know, doing the fucking low crawl, trying to stealth. And some of the enemy soldiers were like, "Do you smell that?" Like, yeah, what is it? And they fucking started to look for me. So they went on alert because I smelled so bad.
Damn. Is there an achievement tied to that?
No, I don't know. I don't think there is, but... There are...
No, because like I know that if you get bloody, they can spot you a lot faster. It does something with your camo... Invisible camo index rating that you can't really see. But
the bloodier you are, the more you show up at night on night vision.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So when they're, you know, once the enemies start having goggles, they're able to spot you more easily. So, like, cleanliness plays a big part in this fucking amazing, weird-ass game. I know! But, like, the fact that you'd be crawling around and you stink so fucking bad that you put them on alert. They're like, whoa, whew.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I know.
It just gets deeper. Oh, I got a good one for you. You get a tape called "Sounds in the Toilet." It's basically shitting noises.
Listen to it like 30 times.
Dude, go inside a stall when they're on alert and they won't come in there because they think some dude's taking a shit.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
you just play that tape while you're in the shit.
They can hear you listening to tapes. I found that out when I was just listening to a tape and then a guard walked by. I didn't even realize it. And he's like, "Huh? What's that?" And I was like,
"Oh, no way.
Like, oh shit, he can hear this? I thought I was wearing headphones, B."
And no, it's like a speaker. You get the speaker upgrade on your iDroid. And you can also get the ones where it's nothing around here. Let's go back to normal state kind of thing. And then they go back to, like, their normal routines.
Oh, no way. I had no idea what the I thought they were just more weird, fucked up Kojima. I was like, okay, I have a cow mooing and a guy taking a painful shit. All right, that's Metal Gear. Wah, wah, wah. I had no idea there was a useful function for that. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's like, I'm not even sure if that's, like, something they... Like they definitely intended you to do it, but like you wouldn't find that in the instruction manual kind of thing,
right? Ugh. Like the original one, you could shoot the guys in the exclamation point, and they would go to sleep.
Are you serious?
What?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
When they went on alert, if you got their exclamation point, if you shot the exclamation point over
that's
their
like
head
reflex
fast enough,
back in the day.
I mean, pretty much. Yeah. If they would go right to sleep.
Holy crap. Yeah, because it would be there for like a split second. Like long enough, you could probably do it, but not without a challenge.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Damn.
Seth dropping knowledge.
Oh, hell yeah. I think I accomplished that feat maybe once. Yeah,
that'd be hard.
Because those old tank controls were fucking... You'd have to hold down the square and release it. Yeah.
You'd almost have to anticipate it.
Yeah.
Right. I think maybe that's, you know, what I did was I intentionally, like, got a guy to go on alert and just to say, oh, look what I did.
Grind it out.
Right, and so that I could tell somebody, you know, 15 years later on a podcast.
No, that's like one of those wicked accomplishments. Like, it all depends on how many of those you rack up. Like, if you have like 10,000 of them, I'd be like, I don't know, how the hell do you have kids? But like, just to like grind out one of them, I think that's like a badge of honor. Every gamer's got a handful of those.
Sure. Right. Like that achievement in Halo where you have to execute a guy when you fall off the cliff.
Oh, I've never done that.
Next. Halo 3, yeah, I spent maybe 2 hours trying to do that.
Grinding it out.
Grinding it out is all about timing. And just so I could get the 5-point fucking achievement.
I hate that it's 5 points.
Yep. It's like, I got 30 points for finishing a mission I had to finish. And then I did this fucking side thing that took me 2 hours of fucking frustration. I got 5 fucking.
Oh, yeah. I went through Until Dawn 3 trophies. I was like, how the fuck is that possible?
Yeah. You know what? And that ties into maybe my one... It's such a stupid complaint, but as somebody who just definitely loves achievements, because I am playing this on Xbox One, I love just the sound of a fucking achievement. It's better than trophies. It's better than Steam achievements. It's just that Xbox Live achievement. I feel like there's not enough, like... achievements tied to the weird Metal Gear shit. Like, you should get an achievement for playing the shit tape while you're in the toilet.
Yeah.
Like, that should be a fucking, you know, like these weird, just insane things that you maybe wouldn't do otherwise should be tied to achievements.
Yeah, like,
I just don't feel like there's enough of that.
Yeah, like, I don't mind collectible achievements. Like, I can take them or leave them, you know, depending, but it's just I think achievements are... I don't think every gamer should be able to get every achievement in every game the way it seems to be able to be done.
Yeah.
Like, they don't seem, I don't know, they lost their charm. Because I remember when, in my day, back when achievements and trophies first came out, it was all, unless you found like those crazy games you could exploit, like Avatar, where you could just get 1,000 points instantly.
Uh-huh, King Kong.
Yeah.
But like,
the Telltale games are almost a badge of honor at this point. Like, but I don't know. It was almost like I'd have a platinum in this game, you'd have a platinum in this other game. But then there's just a point where everybody can platinum the same amount of games, and then people take it to ridiculous levels. Like, there's people that have like 220 platinums. I'm like, that shouldn't be possible within a console lifespan.
Yeah. It's weird the way the achievements played out. Because remember when the first achievements, trophies, is just like nobody knew what to do with them as far as like on the development side. They're just like, fucking here's the 300 points for like pushing the A button.
Scoring a hat trick.
I guess. I don't know. Yeah, right? And then it came to where I think once the achievements reached peak, and I think we've moved past that, I think we're now at the fucking achievement, everybody gets an award sort of level with achievements and trophies. But, you know, you do something insane in a game like that Halo execution, but, you know, maybe something that you wouldn't necessarily have to, like, go online to figure out how to do. But you do something insane, you'd get an achievement. It was, like, extra, like, a feeling of accomplishment that you did something fucking insane and unexpected and got rewarded for it. Like, oh, the game wanted me to do that fucking insane, crazy thing. And it kind of changed the way you approached a video game from the future, you know, going on, because you'd be like, well, maybe I should approach this problem from a different angle and it'll, you know, pop up, throw me up an achievement. But now it's just like, it's 10 points for fucking whatever. Oh, you upgraded your weapon. Well, good for you. Here's an achievement. Upgrade is the name of this achievement.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you get games where you're like one trophy away from platinum or perfect or whatever, and that it just haunts you. And like Dead Space, the first one still to this day taunts me. It sits there. It goes, just beat me on extreme. That's all you need to do.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck you. Fuck you. Extreme. No, it's impossible. The name of the
what is it like? Only one or two continues, or something like that. Or no, you can only save twice or three times.
Yeah, something. Fuck you.
Right, like absolutely limited ammo. Like you basically have to either one shot kill everything or just
beat
run.
It in two settings.
If they gave me the mechanics from two and put me in one, I might be able to manage it because there's a lot more telekinesis shit that you could do in two. You could chop. You could like hit boxes, turn them into poles, and whatever. Sure. But this is about Metal Gear,
right?
Where do you go from here? Like, who's your? I think I asked who's your favorite buddy. It's D-Dog for you guys.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm Quiet all the way.
Well, I think I like Quiet. No, I can't even say that. D-Dog is so realistically dog-like. It's just such a pleasure and a joy to have D-Dog just like slinking around and like looking at you for fucking, you know, for you to say, good boy.
I'm absolutely good biased, dog. Having never not once even tried out D-Dog in Curiosity. Wow. I had D-Horse, got him up to 100, got Quiet, and just never let her go. It was a romance that just for the ages, man. I literally can't advance sometimes without her humming in my ear. So yeah, man. I'm like, yeah, no, just sing to the sweetheart, I got this. Yeah, man, I know she's got this. And then I see her green laser, I'm like, yo, take him out. Yep. And the
Quiet!
Stand down.
I love her. I squirt her with the water bottle on hot days.
The water gun.
I haven't done that yet. I know you told me to.
She doesn't really do anything. It's the only thing that you can squirt her with that doesn't penalize your bond with her.
Right.
Okay. Have you seen the shower scene?
Negative.
The shower
scene. Yeah. With when Ocelot and a bunch of guys are just watching her shower in her cage. It's a bunch of guys standing
heard about
around,
it.
Watching her shower.
No, I don't think okay. so. I saw the scene where she's frolic. Well, I saw one where she frolics around in her bikini in the
okay,
rain.
That's later game. Yeah, where it's like pissing out and she dives out. Then she takes her pants off and starts splashing.
Yeah. And then Snake has that, no, we got to get serious. Here's your clothes back.
No, she starts splashing him, and then they start splashing each other. And then they hold each other, and then the light breaks, and then they let go.
Take your boots.
And, yeah, here's your pants.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, yeah, they just bust out into that serious moment. It's like, oh, yeah, by the way, here's your pants. We should have diddled, though.
Of all accounts, that's Venom's Eva, or Eva.
Yeah.
I know Seth.
Well, here's
Seth won't get that, but that's a Metal Gear 3 reference, but yeah.
Metal Gear.
Here's the deal with that shit too. Oh, I just lost my train of thought, yo. ADD like a motherfucker. It was like Metal Gear lore shit. Oh man, no, I lost the thought. It'll come back to me later. Oh no, Ahab. Remember when they're in the hospital at the beginning and
Ishmael?
Your Venom. Punished Venom Snake is Ishmael, and Big Boss is no, you're Ahab, and he's Ishmael. That's it. Yeah, so Sniper Wolf in Metal Gear Solid 1 falls in love with Ahab, not Ishmael. So she doesn't even fall in love with Big Boss.
No.
The Big Boss. That's hilarious!
But that makes sense if you think of his love for a female sniper.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
There's
man.
So it's, many things set, that pull they, around a, to all the games.
Yeah, man. They slow pitch that one right up the fucking middle, man. I as soon as they quiet and him got a little intimate, and I figured everything out and put two and two together, thought back to Sniper Wolf falling in love with Ahab. Hilarious. Big Metal Gear Solid joke, man. I was like, all they gotta do is tell me that this is the guy at the end of the first one, is just imply that, and I'm in. And then they fucking flew right off the deep end with that shit. I was like, did they make up a story of him getting like that horn surgically removed at least? Wes?
No.
What about his hand? And it doesn't matter. It's that horn. Because I know he doesn't have that horn. And there's no scar.
The only time you've seen him was the NES game.
Yeah, but he did not have a horn.
So we can just blame it on pixels.
The NES game is incomplete. A port.
Okay, the
MSX
game. Yes. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, the MSX game is on the Metal Gear Collection. You could just go play it. It's on the Metal Gear Solid 3 game.
So the guy Solid kills at the end is Venom, thus letting Big Boss survive and show up at the end of Metal Gear 4.
Four.
Which makes sense.
But it's more to it than that, too. It's like they got what's-his-face's body. Solidus's body. It's like this whole conspiracy. Wasn't it when they were trying to make Big Boss look dead, so they got Solidus's body because he was like the perfect clone. And he's like, yeah, this is Big Boss's body.
Yeah, that was just... there's always some Trojan horse type shit going on.
To cover up
Boss, which is the grand scheme of the whole game.
Yeah.
So what about Master Miller? Now that you understand that he didn't know what was really going on. That's why he was being such a dick the whole time. Because he thought he was protecting the real Boss.
He's still a dick. A dick is a dick is a dick. Like, you're going to extract him? You're going to blow that up? Well, that wasn't on the mission plan, but I guess it's cool. We can land helicopters closer now.
He was a dick.
Like, the guy's a dick. He's always like, no, torture him. You can't let her on the base. She saved my life. I don't care. Everyone's just like, just say something to him. It's like, I can't. He has no arm and no leg. Like, the guy's fucked.
Right. Stylish sunglasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. And a beret.
Brand name. I don't remember what.
That should have been the clue. The fucking beret. As soon as he had that beret, it's like, oh, you're going to be a dick this whole game, aren't you? He's like, yeah, I am. I have a beret.
It's entitled.
Yeah, man. Because he's not like, Campbell, at least he was like in the army. He had some sort of position. Campbell's just like a self-made dude, isn't he? He's like, I'm in your army, so make me this.
Yeah, but he was hired by Rey now.
Yeah, but it wasn't he like some sort of special?
Yeah, he was,
Everything all messed up.
But he joined that group with Solid and Miller. Then that gets into, Miller actually dies before the events of Shadow Moses in his house. There's that reveal where you're like,
Was it before? I thought it was during.
Something like that.
Yeah. But either way, yeah. So that was that reveal. It could only be done on PlayStation because with the portraits. Yeah.
And then that sort of shakes, and then this long hair drapes down. Yeah.
I actually have long hair.
Brother.
Brother. Liquid.
It's like, oh yeah, Eli went to England. When you beat the game, there's this big timeline that comes up.
Yeah.
Like from 74 to like 84 or something.
Yep. I saw that, yep. And I think the more you, after you beat part 2 or whatever,
it expands that timeline. Fills in more gaps.
Yeah, so, man, in some ways I felt like the stuff was just there as placeholders just to connect dots that fans were sort of asking about, Like, Paz exploding and dying, I thought was like awesome, and then having her come back, like, I'm grateful, I'm happy that she survived somehow, but
she didn't.
Felt like...
No, she is the same thing as the medic. She was reconstructed.
Oh,
yes.
Really? I missed that.
To just keep his memory alive of her, I guess.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I've read. That she was sort of like, whatever they did to Ishmael.
Did you get all the pictures to her?
I got maybe like three.
Like, yeah. Whatever. Because that's not even like a scored mission or anything.
No, so that's something. Yeah.
Barely even explained. So I don't. I don't even know where I go to get. I just went and saw her a second time, and I had a picture, and I was like, where the fuck did I get this?
Thank you.
Oh, hey, well, that's cool.
Missions? Rankings?
Oh, okay.
Well, the whole deal with that is like, I just appreciate the small little things that are in there. Like, it gets spoiled in my newsfeed, so I tried to avoid it whenever I was playing the game because it's still a hot topic even now. But I found out that like there's a cutscene for having every player in the game nuclear disarmed, like having no nuclear weapons. So I'm like not developing a nuclear weapon in the hopes that one day every player logged into the game. You know what I'm saying?
I never got into developing nukes.
Well, like, I think it's for
your operating base. FOB
it
stuff,
is,
right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I never got into any of that. I try to keep my security team as good as I can.
Oh, yeah, my security team.
Seth, you get into that shit?
Awesome. I started to, like, do some infiltrations.
But, like, you're putting resources into your player platform?
Oh, my God. Yeah? My mother... I would guarantee, like, probably 30% of my 100 hours, so like 30 hours, has just been like going and finding the best people to take back and be part of my private army and building up my fucking base. And yeah, I'll go and on any mission, if I see somebody with like an A++ rating on any stat, I'll tag them and do whatever I can to fucking knock them out.
Now you're manually selecting them and putting them on the FBO or FOB.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're deep.
Yeah, I know. It's so dumb.
Pokemon.
I know.
Deep with you.
The fucking metagame has got me in deep.
Dude, the thing with Peace Walker was on PSP, it just sent out a wireless signal and it would just sort of detect how many were in the area, and you could recruit as many soldiers that were in the area.
Well, there are automatic recruiting missions too. That you can send your guys on. Yeah, it dispatch them on a recruiting mission, but I don't, you know, that's not as satisfying, and I get all fucking anxious when I see the projected losses.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to. I worked real hard to get that guy out of the, you know, with the A++ rating, so I don't want to lose him. And so I just end up going around and just stealing guys on my own. Because sometimes you will find an outpost, and you'll be like, oh, this guy's like all like flat, straight D's. That guy's got like maybe a B for fucking intel, and then they'll be up in the guard tower. They'll be like an A++, A+, you know, B, C, A++ again. Just dudes standing up there, and it's completely worth. Have you tried to fucking battle any of those guys, like reflex mode, the A++ rated soldiers out in the field?
No.
They will fuck you up. Yeah, I can't. You know, came around the corner, and I was gonna CQC him, but because he had such a high rating in like fucking combat, he was able to like dodge my attack and fucking fuck me up and, you know, alert everybody. And same thing in reflex mode, like it goes into reflex mode, but before I can do anything, he just punches me or fucking shoots me a couple times because they're so skilled. And it's like, oh man, I definitely need this in my fucking. So yeah, right. Yeah, no, those it's awesome. It's so cool that there's like that attention to detail that this guy doesn't just have a good rating. He can fuck you up. You know, he's gonna be harder than Joe D and E over there.
Lazy lizard.
Right. Which for a little while I was I'd go to a base, and if nobody had a good rating, I would just shoot them because I didn't care. But then I found out about I would fucking interrogate them and I would stab them in the neck. But then I found out about the devil rating. So I stopped doing that because I've heard about the demon rating, and I've never been able to like confirm that you can undo your demon rating. So I haven't done that anymore.
Yeah, see, like I try not to do that too much, but like that is my like death is all part of the method of stealth for me. So
right.
So like if I don't want to waste time hiding a body, like you're just. Sorry, man. Collateral damage. You're just an expenditure kind of thing, and I just like I'll stab them or
airstrike.
Well, I'll shoot people in the face. Like that's usually my like as soon as you stop moving, I see how far away you are from a dumpster or anything like that, and I'll shoot you in the face, throw you to the dumpster, rather than wasting time struggling with you in the open and then dragging you to the dumpster. I put you down, crawl over, dumpster. Do you guys run around, or are you like mostly like squatting, running, and crawling?
I'm doing I've constantly on the move.
Running, diving, crawling.
Yep.
I don't really
love the dive mechanic.
So I dive.
The dive is fucking awesome.
I dive. I don't really run. Unless I'm going from point A to point B, I'm not really running.
I've run to objectives. I love it. He just books it. He doesn't get tired.
Oh, especially if you get the upgraded armor and you get two times running speed. Yeah, it's like Benny Hill. Because he's running so fucking fast.
Well, no, I'll run to objectives, but like whenever I'm in the mission, I'm always like on my belly.
It depends. Like, if you got D-Dog, right? He scoped everyone out.
Yeah, D-Dog tags everybody. I got the sneaky suit on,
so I'm extra quiet, so I can do a bit more running. Yep.
Belly.
But when I'm going to do some shit, yeah, belly. If I see that little vision thing come up, like someone's, hey, what's going on? Yeah, I'm diving and I'm chilling.
I'm never not on my belly. Unless I got, like, I don't know, I'd say 50 to 100 meters between me and whatever, I'm belly. I don't even, like, fuck around and try to, like, crouch walk. Belly. They have a hard time seeing you when you're on your belly. For every single time, I'll be walking around and then that indicator will come up. Belly. Up! Oh, it just goes away. I'm like, yep, belly solves all my problems.
I like how they put the detail of, like, sort of like the Max Payne when he's on his belly or back with the gun. You know how he sort of rolls around on his shoulders?
Yeah.
That's a good touch. It's just all the little accents in the game.
I like the fact that he crawls backwards instead of turning around.
Yeah.
I just preferred that. I don't know why. I thought that was, like, a nice touch because, I don't know, you ever with tank controls, you get this weird Austin Powers moment where you're just trying to like awkwardly turn down, someone around.
What am I doing? Am I flying a jet? What's going on?
Yeah. And when he when he just starts moving like backwards, I'm like, all you have to do is reorient the camera. He sort of just faces wherever the camera goes.
Yeah.
When I figured that out, it was like, oh, this is lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty dope. Pretty dope.
The controls are great in this game.
Oh yeah, how many tanks have you guys managed to fault in the way? Because I've only literally got one.
I think half a dozen.
Yeah, really? Maybe got like five or six.
Yeah. No. Every one of those side ops, you have to take out the...
you need them later in the side ops. Or like the dispatch missions.
Yes, in the dispatches. There's some that you can't open without like tanks and personnel
tanks
vehicles.
And walkers.
I got a couple of like what are those other ATV type vehicles? Not ATVs, but the ones with like the heavy gun, the heavy machine gun. Not a heavy machine gun; it's like a cannon.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that. I have a couple of those, but I just have one
APC.
Tank. I can't.
Armored APC. Personal
carrier. Yeah.
Yep.
One of those or whatever. Whatever. I can't remember with those. There's way too much attention to fucking detail. I'll be talking about the game and I'll be like, so I have an assault rifle. And I'll be like, which one? I'm like, oh shit, I don't fucking know. The one that's not the AK-47. It's no. I have the MRS, whatever, augmented to fucking all hell, extended clip scope. I don't even think it comes with a scope on it. It's just a gun.
No.
And then I threw a scope on it for the fact that I can now shoot you in the face from like 100 yards.
Yeah, so. I throw a scope on everything.
Yeah, it's I don't know why. Sometimes you just feel like you have to. I think the gun would probably be better with a sight, but like it's pretty accurate. So I was just like, well, I wonder how it'll do with a scope, and not bad. So.
Yeah, I have one with a red dot sight that works fucking amazingly well in first person, like looking down the barrel mode. And so I end up using that a lot more than like a scoped assault rifle.
Yeah, what I wanted to try doing is something stupid, like putting a scope on an inaccurate gun and seeing if it like the wobble on it or whatever forces me to miss, just like, because you think a scope just would make everything more precise, but but like, what if the gun is just not never meant to have a scope on it, period, and if you put it on it, you're an idiot, and then just like you play that action out in real time, like this was a stupid decision. I wonder if that's possible.
I mean, yeah, it'd be very easy to find out, and then you just have some shitty gun that you never use again.
Well, you just delete it from whatever, whatever your mods, yeah. But no, I just thought about that, because like, you can essentially make the RoboCop gun with one of the pistols, because...
Yeah!
You know?
Holy shit.
It's, yeah, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities, because one of them has a rapid-fire clip. All you gotta do is get the extended clip. Yeah, it could happen. Whatever. Yeah. Yeah, you just look through all the guns, and then you just start... I spent probably 30 minutes modifying the three guns that I always take into missions, and now I have, like, handcrafted Metal Gear Solid guns to my liking. It's just... It's just
beautiful.
Yeah, and like you said, I just... there's, like, camo on them and stuff, so my sniper rifle is, like, this off-color green, very light, so I know that it's the trank rounds, and then my death dealer is red. So, you know, yeah. I know which one I'm holding, I know which one, you know. Just shit like that. I just, the attention to detail is uncanny. You can make your own logo, like, what the fuck? Yeah.
Oh my god, I bet I spent 5 hours making my fucking logo. Every time I take over, you know, and it's like, you unlocked, you know, word, whatever, I'm like, well, I gotta go find, change my logo now. So I finally have, I think it's just Metal Face. Is my fucking logo now.
I think I'm not sure what I think I ended up calling, keeping it the Diamond Dogs, but I, for a while, I had Diamond Dicks. Because I was like, can I actually spell this out? They're like, oh yeah, you can totally full on make your fucking logo. And then I was like, well, yeah. I don't want to get banned if I take any of this online, so.
I was Special Horse for a while, and it was a picture of a donkey.
Mine's a butterfly. I didn't get too deep in it. It's like, butterfly and it's this Diamond Dogs. I wanted people to be like, then why do you have a butterfly? I'm like, exactly.
No, I spend way too much time designing logos, and I'm trying to do them with, like, thinking of, you know, like, graphic design rules. I'm like, all right, well, I've got to leave, you know, an equal amount of space on the top. Oh, it looks too top heavy now. I've got to shrink the font size on this top one down.
Damn.
It's dumb. I get stupid with the shit like that.
I suck at that.
Anything
sort of
that you
thing.
Can customize, I fucking OCD. Spend way too much time on. Oh, yeah. Like, I can't even remember. There's some N64, like, race game, like, early race game that allowed you to custom paint your cars. And so me and my friend, we spent, you know, maybe 2 hours trying to get a perfect replica of the fucking Dukes of Hazzard paint job. This was back when that was a socially acceptable thing.
Damn.
When we didn't know any better. So, yeah, just, I get stupid into fucking, and the same with, like, Grand Theft Auto Online, I have, everything has this, oh, no, I'll tell you what I fucking did, this is off topic, but the customization in Forza Horizons 2, yep. I made a fucking, a Louis Vuitton print that took 4 fucking ever, I made it custom so I could, like, have my, Grand National with a Louis Vuitton print, it was, like, pink, with a fucking maroon Louis Vuitton print over it. Completely custom made. I had to make every little stupid... You know what they look like. They look dumb. And it was all because when I lived in Tucson, there was a guy that lived in this, like, really sketchy apartment complex that had a Grand National with a fucking Louis Vuitton print on it. And I thought that was baller as fuck.
Pink?
So I
did the same Grand National.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What?
He was this was the type of dude. I saw him quite often because he was in the neighborhood. This is the kind of guy that if you went up and said, what the fuck is up with your pink car? He probably would have put you down instantly. So he could easily have driven any color car.
Damn.
Yep. I spent a lot of time.
I wouldn't make fun of a pink car. I remember Need for Speed Underground 2, I think it was. I ripped a hot pink Porsche, I think. Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I just ripped it. I just destroyed people online. I paid for Xbox Live for the right to just drift master the shit all over people. I didn't have a headset. I was the silent, mute motherfucker just drifting by on a pink fucking Corvette. It was Porsche. Corvette? I can't remember. But I got pretty deep into it, and because I guess I'm more of an arcade racer kind of guy.
Yeah.
I just it gets to a point where I realize that I hate trying to drive for real, and driving in an arcade sort of style just fits me more. It seems more logical to me when I drive in an arcade game. I don't know how that makes sense. But simulations, like, it doesn't matter. I don't actually want to drive. I'd get a car. I want to hit gas and then just, you know,
right.
You know, go.
I know what you mean.
I don't want to.
That's why Forza Horizons 2 is the better of the Forza games.
Is it more arcadey or is it still sim?
Yeah, it's completely arcadey. I mean, it's a good balance. You can do sim shit if you want to, you know, but it's like, I'm just going to drive as fast as I can through a field.
Race
for no reason other than
plane. Point to point.
Yeah. Right. No, that game's fun as fuck. That's a way better than the Forza games.
Is it better than a Need for Speed though?
The
grand master of all arcade. Like they have misses here and there, but just for the most
part. The crew.
I never even touched that. Is that an Ubisoft property?
Yeah, you gotta go to Radio Towers to unlock more than that.
I have to withdraw myself from this conversation. That is a Ubisoft mechanic. Do they have outposts that you have to fucking conquer as well?
Yeah, they do.
That's the fucking... That's the engine. That's the Assassin's Creed, Far Cry crew. That's their engine.
I know.
How many games has that appeared in now? This is like, what, 4 or
14?
5? Like,
mm-hmm.
It's quite a few, man. That's their mechanic. I love outposts in games like Far Cry and Assassin's Creed. Those are fun. That's just murder fests. Murder fests. Who doesn't like a little murder?
Right.
Like digital murder, that's the most fun thing. Cliff Bleszinski, I'm not a big fan of his, but one of the best things he ever said was, when you put a gun in the player's hands, they know exactly what they need to do with it.
Fucking right.
There's like no question of what needs to go on when you put a game. So it's like it's one of the go-tos and mainstays of gaming, just because there's no questions.
Right.
And I like that logic. I don't want to, like, if you go after a long day at work, you don't want to think about what gun does what. This isn't Fallout. You know, I just want to grab a gun, shoot.
It will be soon.
does everybody have it? Did anybody pre-order it?
No.
Yeah, you can just.
I'm not doing the pre-order shit.
Yeah.
You can just walk in and buy it.
Yeah, ASX. I mean, pre-orders made sense when I pre-ordered my Nintendo 64 because there was a real possibility that I could go to the store on launch day and there wouldn't be any Nintendo 64s. And then all of a sudden they started to do that shit where you would pre-order a game and you'd go there to pick it up and they'd be like, sorry, we sold out because you didn't pre-order early enough. And now everything's digital, so there's no fucking point to pre-order anyway. And they take that and they just
walk
you
in the store
over
and
with
buy
the pre-orders.
It. They don't have it, you go down the street.
Right, there's no... Yeah, there's no shortage. There's no reason to guarantee that you can buy a game that you are guaranteed to be able to buy.
Yep, I started feeling that around, I think about Final Fantasy 13 is when I sort of really noticed that there was no reason. Like, I think for the most part in the beginning I got caught up in that, because like, EB would legitimately sell out of certain games, and so I got worried that maybe the game that I'm not pre-ordering might be one of them, so I just started pre-ordering everything, and I just thought, it looks like they got a lot of copies of Final Fantasy 13, and then I noticed they had two lines, one for pre-orders, one for walk-ins, and the walk-in line was in and out order. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, wait a minute here, and then I pre-ordered Max Payne 3 because I'm an idiot, and then
get in line, buddy.
I noticed the same thing. Well, because it was the same night as the Diablo 3 launch. And I don't know why I pre-ordered Max Payne. I think I probably was trying to get a GameStop girl or something. And because I knew better by that point. I stopped pre-ordering Assassin's Creed. I stopped ordering whatever. And then just to prove my point, last year I bought Assassin's Creed Rogue and Unity day one, opening. It just walked in and bought it. Like, it can be done.
Yep. And the pre-order bonuses that they basically just come with the game because they have so many copies. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you just
right.
walk in, you get the pre-order bonus, and you didn't even pre-order.
Oh, I pre-ordered Borderlands 2 because they're like, you'll get fucking these special gearbox weapons, and they're no better than... I mean, you start out with them, and within, like, after you beat that first fucking bully mong, you have better weapons.
Yeah, there's 100,000 weapons in that game. There's going to be so
right.
many.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I think Destiny just introduced a system that pretty much nailed that mentality where you can take a gun and just keep fusing it rather than losing it.
But can you
it.
Tell a story, baby?
Of course.
Here I am talking shit, but I did pre-order fucking Metal Gear.
I did too, but that's different. That's preloading.
Oh, right, exactly. That's the only reason I pre-ordered it, was so that when it fucking launched, I could wake up and play the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind preload so much. Like, if you're going to go with the digital copy, a preload makes sense. It's better than pre-ordering it and then waiting till it drops and then, you know, waiting. Then you got to
download. Games are like 60 gigs, so it's going to take all night to download.
Fucking out of control.
Yeah, more games that support preload, the better. But I do not want to kill retail. The problem is gamers are very hive mind and they sort of just migrate towards what's like convenient almost. Like DLC is a very convenient way to extend your game, but then when you start thinking about DLC, you're just like, this, it's starting to get kind of stupid. And some of them, not all of them, but you know what I'm saying.
$50 Battlefield Season Pass.
Really? That's what it is. Holy
yeah, that's
shit.
In the States. I don't know what it's going to be for you guys.
Usually the DLC is the same price. And how much was Destiny's DLC? Do you remember?
The newest one? You get
either one of them.
Fuck, so I think it's like $30. Yeah, was it? One of them like was really expensive and everyone... Oh, no, I remember what it was. It was, the House of Wolves was $20.
Yeah.
In the States, and it was £20 in the UK.
Okay, that's ridiculous.
I was fucking pissed.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
No. It was the same. See, the DLC is usually the same price here. But
okay.
The games themselves are $20 more. What the fuck?
That doesn't make any sense.
You just added another aspect to my fucking web of intrigue. I never even realized that shit. Dude, Wes, I called up candidates, my friend. One of them had me on hold for a half hour, then hung up on me.
God damn it.
Dude, I think I stumbled upon the Illuminati. If I'm dead...
It's the bankers.
If I end up, dying, man... It has to be... has to do maybe electronics, too. But games might be affected by this as well.
It's even worse for the people in Australia.
Is like price wise or just content wise?
It's like base price is $80 for 80 Australian dollars, which I don't know what that is. Actually, that might be pretty good. I'm not sure what the exchange rate is, but I just know that Aussies are always complaining about the price of games. You can't get
Dead Island.
Yeah, it's so weird because I always thought Australia was so cool because every Australian I've ever met is just so chill and fucking awesome.
Yeah, isn't?
But then their country is so fucked up with censorship and like prices and stuff.
That's so weird.
And plus that whole Road Warrior thing going on.
They took all the guns away.
Oh, well. I don't know what's up with Australia. I became aware of their crazy bans with Fallout where they like banned it because there was like medicine, like prescription drugs in it or something like that.
What the fuck?
Tavern. And then Fallout ended up Skyrim. Changing the names or whatever. They banned Skyrim? Oh, okay. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, like, there's like
I've
violence.
I've just been playing Skyrim lately.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Don't start talking about the next Elder Scrolls. We got to get through a Fallout.
Hey, no man, one gets out of
PC
Fallout.
Skyrim is fucking amazing.
Yes, it is.
The mods are incredible. PC Skyrim.
I haven't fucked with any mods yet. I'm
just like the
curious.
HD updates.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Because I just put my new computer together and I downloaded Skyrim because I fucking love Skyrim.
I've got. They just had a weekend sale
for
a Legendary Edition for $21.
Oh shit! Well, I bought it a long time ago, but first thing I did was I turned everything up to Ultra. I was like, this doesn't look good still. This looks very dated now, so I'm interested to try one of the HD
mods. Yeah, they got mods to make the plants look better, more grass, better weather effects, better lighting.
Man. Yeah, even with everything like turned all the way up, it looks pretty aged, which is sad. It's still a fucking great game, though.
That's one of the few games I have a platinum trophy in.
Wow. Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
What'd you get platinum for?
Skyrim. Got all the trophies.
Oh, is that what a platinum is? I thought a platinum was just really hard to get.
No, a platinum.
You got all the fucking trophies in Skyrim?
Yeah, base game, not the expansions.
Doesn't matter. That's still incredible.
It's not too hard.
Oh, really?
No, not really. It's still like it's more about time rather than
skill.
Is
that like all side missions?
Yeah, it's doing every single mission in the game. Not the you know how there's like three tiers of missions. There's
it's
sort
just
of
the
random
guild
ones
that
you could. It's the guild ones. It's all the guild ones. There's side missions, and then there's main quest missions, and then there's small tasks like picking like 1,000 locks or something like that. It's not 1,000, but like you know those type of things. Same with Fallout. Oh, I have the Fallout 3 Platinum. It's along the same lines where it's just do all the missions, get all the evil perks. Not the evil perks. Like you know where there's like three levels of good, three levels of evil, or then there's neutral. So it's like, so get to this level at bad, get to this level at neutral, get to this level at good. They're not that hard. It's just more about time. So maybe there's one or two that have to do with skill. Like you have to do some crazy shit to like kill like super mutants or.
You
I don't know.
Play
it doesn't matter.
Or
no,
I haven't played any
that's
of the DLC.
I got Hearthstone. Is that what it's called? Hearthfire. I got Hearthfire. And it was one of the hearths. I got Hearthfire because building a house is actually surprisingly fun in Skyrim, so I'm really...
That's what I heard.
Yeah. I think that was like the test run for what they're doing in Fallout 4, and if that was the test run, like, Fallout 4 is going to be epic.
Yeah.
Because building a house in Skyrim, like, even if I played the game for like 200 hours, and then they're like, okay, you can go build a house. And I just built the shell. Like, it was a pretty impressive shell, but I didn't even have enough to fill it. I had to, like, still go out there and do shit. It was pretty cool.
I have a friend on Steam. He's a friend of mine, like, in real life. I've been friends with him for 100 years. And he's, every time I get on Steam, it just pops up that he's, you know, playing Skyrim or Civ 5. And just... wager a guess at how many hours he has in Skyrim. Just, I'm looking at it right now. Just throw a number out there.
No, one. That is 1,009 hours.
You're both too low.
Oh, whoa, shit!
Like, wow.
1,810 hours played of Elder Scrolls V Skyrim.
Okay, yeah. Then Civ 5, he's got to have like 2,000 hours.
Civ 5, I can't remember. Hold on, I gotta look this up now. Shit. It's when I first saw it, I was like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, nobody could ever... I don't know if he has a job. In fact, I don't think it would be possible to have a job and play... Wow, he hasn't played Civ in a long time.
No, I can tell you that I've racked
that's
up...
That's fucking insane. 75 days straight.
I can tell you that I've racked up to about like 1,000 hours playing time of Silent Hill, but that's only because the game's been out for like 15 years.
Right, sure. Oh, okay. He has 7 more hours in Civ 5 than he does
in Skyrim.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Fallout New Vegas, he's got 236 hours on record. Yeah,
he's like, oh, I didn't care for it.
Dragon Age, 143. Assassin's Creed 3, 184 hours, which I don't understand.
Is that idle?
How that's possible?
He went on vacation.
That's what I'm wondering. That is just fucking crazy. That was a bit of a tangent, but man.
Damn.
We are not worthy.
That's absolutely crazy. Like, for me, there's a... I hear numbers. Like, I think that's crazy impressive. Like, I'm not even trying to put that number down.
Oh, no, I'm not throwing shade or anything. No,
that's right. Wow.
I could... Yeah, definitely.
But you ever... Like, there's certain, like, trophy counts or achievement scores that I see that, and I'm just like, wow, nice. And it's usually if the guy has a life. But then I see ones that are so high, and I'm just like... I just want to know how... I have weird, so terrible, stereotypical questions that I need to ask you. Where do you live? How much do you weigh? And, like, it just seems like you start becoming a hater if your score's a little bit too high. You know? Like, it goes from nice to, what the fuck is your problem? That you still live in your mom's basement, fat boy? You know?
There are some gamers and the that kids just like, play, like, one game. That only got yeah. Game.
That's a...
Someone sure it's kind of
That's how it right. used to be, really.
Yeah.
That's all I want it to be. I want to get a game and park on it. And I've said it for months. I think Wildlands and The Division and DayZ are going to be my three this gen. DayZ on console.
Yeah.
I don't know, but they said, but I'll have The Division and Wildlands. So I'll be cool. I just want to park on some games. Remember the days of like getting a clan together, and it would be like you'd run the same game for like Rainbow months Six. Or years. Yeah, I played Rainbow Six all the way up until I think Ghost Recon. Well, not I know that's not Rainbow Six, but like that style of action sort of thing. I didn't play the Xbox version. I was PC. I was fairly hardcore. I was in a clan. We'd always whip ass in exhibition games, but then when like shit was on the line, I don't think we did too well. We won a couple times, but like I don't think I was involved in any of those matches. I was an alternate. I'm pretty sure I was. Yeah. Oh, damn. So, any last words about a Metal Gear Solid?
It's, without fucking question, Metal Gear Solid is my game of the year. I can't think of any other game. I mean, Mario Maker is fucking phenomenal and fantastic, and I've spent a lot, and it has taken me away somewhat from Metal Gear. And also, I did a review for NHL 16, which took me away a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, as far as just, like, pure enjoyment and a game... not being afraid to be as like much as video game as a video game can be is how I would describe Metal Gear Solid 5. It just does everything so fucking perfectly. You play games and I feel like I'm playing Metal Gear when I'm just fucking enjoying it. I'm having such a good time.
Yep.
I'm like able to do what I want to do. It is head and shoulders above any other game that I've played this year, and it is not only is it my obvious lock for fucking game of the year, it's like in like one of my favorite games of all time, period. Forget it. And part of the reason I am at 100 hours and I'm only 50% is because I love it so much that I don't want it to end. So I like savor. It's like if you only had fucking, you're in the desert and you only had like two drops of water, you just like swish those drops in your mouth as long as you could and savor them and love them. And that's what I do with Metal Gear Solid. It's a fucking savory treat.
Right on. Right on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wes, what about you?
As far as best playing Metal Gear, it is. The best game, best video game Metal Gear is this one. The best playing one. It's just the way it plays, feels, it's incredible. Story-wise, yeah, it's not the best. It's still the best game. Yeah, it's definitely a
word. Alright. I absolutely wholeheartedly agree with the both of you. I think this game smashed it, nailed it, crushed it, killed it, destroyed it in almost every way. I can't think of one thing that I specifically do not like. I may have issues with certain things, but I wouldn't remove it from the game because my dislike comes from a sense of frustration. Like games are meant to frustrate you. It's sort of part of the challenge. It's like, you know what I mean? Like the frustration comes from not being at a certain skill level. I'm not able to blow up tanks, not because my artillery is inefficient, but because I'm inefficient at using my artillery. And so, like, I'm bitching about the guns that I wish were stronger because it makes sense to me that this missile should be able to blow up this object. But who gives a fuck? This is a game. You have to figure out how to use this plus 10 weapon against this shield that is ogre shield or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like you have to think of it in game mechanics, not like real world objects. So
right.
And so I love thinking that planning out missions in advance where you're tagging soldiers, objects, and just thinking like, how can I Fulton extract enemies without so nobody seeing the balloon? There's a soldier just getting diverted in the middle of missions, like seeing a soldier that you know you have to recruit now, but you're in the middle of a mission. How do you kill two birds with one stone? The way that this game takes my ADD and just says, don't worry.
Just rewards it.
Yeah.
Stokes it.
Yeah. There's so many things to do at a given moment that you can just almost never be bored.
The mind-blowing right, you know? Amount of ways you could do a mission. Everyone.
Yes.
Can do
yes.
Astoundingly different. And I
just. Oh my god. That just reminded me of something that I abso-fucking-lutely love is that if you go into a mission stealthy and they tell you that, like, you'll get in there as quietly as possible and you don't, you never feel punished. And that's one thing that I've always disliked. I will restart a stealth mission in, like, any other game if I'm spotted. Where if this one, if you're spotted, it's not a big deal.
Yep.
Nobody's gonna, like, fucking take you down and scold you behind the woodshed. It doesn't punish you for not playing the game, like, how you're supposed to. You could just play how you want to.
Well, yeah, exactly. You hit the nail. This is going to be my exact next point. It doesn't punish you for not being stealthy. Like, in other Metal Gear Solid games, they give you guns that are A, loud, and B, deadly. But the point of the game always seemed to be go through it as quiet and without killing people. You know?
Yeah.
So it just seems stupid. Well, don't give me this loud fucking gun! and, you know? And don't give me real bullets! Like, what the fuck are you doing? Because, like, by the end of Metal Gear Solid 4, you're just a lethal killing machine. Row upon row of guns on command. And you can't kill people. You have to be as quiet as possible. Really? Is that the point of this game? And this is the first one that said, okay, we're going to give you a reason to use all these cool weapons that we gave you. That you actually literally have to develop in some cases. So, yeah, it's just that sort of thing. They give you a reason to use every weapon. They give you a reason to Fulton away trucks and tanks and stuff, because you can use them.
Yeah.
You can ride containers back up to the helicopter, just little subtle shit like that. You could just go on and on. I think that's the point. I'm thrown back by, even though there's not as much, the cutscenes weren't as many as I would like, I'm able to overlook that easily by the fact they delivered a game, an incredible game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no.
You can play it.
Right. It's a series of experiences.
Yeah.
I have gripes with the story, but never with the way the game is played and controlled. That's what makes it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You have gripes with the story. I as soon as I realized that there weren't going to be a lot of cutscenes and it was just going to be a little here, a little there.
I wanted more.
I can definitely get down with that. That's what you're saying? Yeah, I can definitely get down with that.
But after listening to, like, the final tapes here, the last blurb of Ocelot and Miller talking on the splash screen, it sort of ties things up if you're into the Metal Gear lore.
Right. So. Well, I just wanted the identity of Venom Snake, Punish Snake, whoever the fuck he is. I figured that out, and I thought I had to put it together myself because I was staring at the IGN walkthrough, and it just ends at Salalatin.
Keep it locked.
Salalatin.
Ends at Rex. Salalanthropus, right? So it ends there.
Snuffleupagus.
Yeah, it ends at Snuffleupagus. They throw me to they throw me to credits, and then they give me the stinger. So I thought, okay, all right, cool. You know, they hinted at it, but they never came out right and said it. Whatever, that's cool. Just being subtle. And then Wes is like, oh, dude, there's three parts or whatever. I was like, are you serious? I thought it was just like...
Yeah, I was mistaken.
Redundant missions or whatever. But either
there was supposed to be a third.
Yeah, which people are speculating that's where Ground Zeroes was.
Oh, I see.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I see what's going on. Yeah, like they just, like a tanker.
Act 1, 2, 3, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. But either way, I just think the Phantom Pain is absolutely phenomenal. Up and down, hand, whatever maybe if they do a Metal Gear Solid 6, I'm sure there might be a dab more story. But like at this point, Metal Gear Solid for me is the first four games, and Peace Walker is the bonus content. Whatever they wanted to add to it is fine. I'm still at shock in awe about this game that they made. My one regret is that they couldn't somehow work co-op into it like they did with Peace Walker, since Peace Walker was obviously the model slash portable ops or whatever, however you want to look at it. But like, just the co-op plus Phantom Pain would have been the shit. All you had to do is swap out your buddy and with a real live player, and it would have just. I don't understand why they can't do it. Or they didn't. I don't know.
Because they're Konami.
Well, like, whatever. They made the game. They wanted to make, more power to them. It just feels like in all the steps forward that they took, this just seems like a weird oversight.
Yeah.
That's all. Because multiplayer seemed to be like a big part of the Phantom Pain on some level. Like, with the...
It's coming out as a pachinko machine.
Yeah.
The multiplayer.
Well, like, forward operating base. Can't you call in your buddies to help defend your base? Like, can't that go down?
I think, but it's like an automated thing.
Oh.
Like, just based on their rank, but I'm not entirely sure.
Oh. Well, whatever.
Because I haven't done it yet. I haven't really explored. I just went and fucked somebody's base up, and it was pretty satisfying.
How do you...
Not gonna lie.
Doesn't it look exactly like yours, though?
It... For the most part, yeah.
Okay.
It does.
That's all. Well, I go, I'm not going to begrudge a game that it allows you to customize everything. And it's like, well, you can't customize your base.
Right, it'll be a different color. That's about it.
Right on.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So I guess that's it.
Man.
We all just love it. Game of the year, probably it seems that way.
I think this is going to be like game of the year for a lot of outlets when they do their lists this year. I mean,
we'll see.
I can't imagine an argument otherwise.
Well, Fallout 4, man. Like,
ah, shit. Yeah, damn it.
Maybe some Witcher fans, but
yeah, I think some Witcher fans will chime in.
Like, I think it had Witcher released in a year that Metal Gear Solid 5 didn't come out, then probably. But Metal Gear Solid 5 is just.
Witcher has more story.
I don't know.
Stuff to it, but
right.
Metal Gear just plays way better.
So fun. Oh, it's so fun. That's all I want from a video game. Just be fun and have enough story to make the video game shit make sense. That's all I care about.
An M-rated Nintendo game. That's like what Metal Gear Solid almost feels
yes.
like.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's that's how I think of it now.
It's mechanically fucking solid as hell, and it's full of whimsy. So yeah, it's an M-rated Nintendo.
I hope they do something with that Fox engine, man. That thing's beautiful.
Oh my god! I want every game to be Fox engine. When I look at games that are Fox engine, I want to. Yeah, it's just fucking unreal. And the only thing they're using it is Pro 11 Soccer.
As of now,
that's it.
That's it. As of now, yeah.
That game should be like in horror movie, horror type games, and that's like because it's just the atmosphere in it is incredible.
Yeah,
man. Oh, Capcom like might PT. Be Capcom might be doing fucking Resident Evil 7 or a Resident Evil game in VR. Is there any truth to that?
I don't know.
I heard rumors. This is rumors.
That doesn't sound like something Capcom would do. Capcom's not in like the their commitment now is to like remakes and packaging, you know. Right. Like the Mega Man Legacy Collection, which I have yet to pick up, but I plan on. It's actually, I mean, from what I've read, it's incredibly well done. But that's what they're kind of focusing on now is redoing their old content.
They seem kind of late to that party though.
I know, that's the thing, but what do they got going on now? That's, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's looking alright, but like... Other
shit. Yeah.
Well, whatever, I think that they can just, they're sitting on a gold mine. Well, they were sitting on a gold mine with the remaking of Resident Evil 2, like, maybe 5-6 years ago. And that would have just killed it. You put Devil May Cry in HD. What I think when they re-release the 10-year anniversary of Halo, there's very few games that could get away with doing that, and I think Silent Hill might be one of them.
Resident Evil
was clearly
Resident Evil 4, that remake that they did for the Xbox 360, that was just a texture upgrade.
The PC port, yeah.
So it's the it's literally the exact same game, which was a super bummer. No, I mean, I still love that game, but yeah, fucking that is
I never made it through that one. It's the one that really,
I couldn't put that game down.
It's so long.
It is long as fuck.
Like that's my only problem with it. By the time it's not that I got bored. It's just another game would come along by the time I would be ready to I don't know. It just was so long.
Yeah.
Because I didn't play it when it came out because I was dismissive of Resident Evil after playing 3, I was just like, no, it's cool. I'm done. It's fine. Whatever. It's too actiony. Whatever. He's like, no, you got to play 4. I was like, no, I really don't. I'm done with the series. And then someone convinced me to play it, and I fell in love. But then the game just kept fucking going. And then I think I started playing Fatal Frame. And then that's when I was broken for all future horror games.
Hey, new Fatal Frame coming to the Wii U.
Isn't it out?
Yeah. It's a download.
Oh, is it out?
Download title, I think.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, I need to. I need to take Super Mario Maker out of it. That's not gonna happen. That game's lovely.
I almost got a Wii U and a Super Mario Maker with the Ubi credits, but then
your Ubi bucks,
my Ubi bucks,
soft bucks.
Only works at certain locations. So, but the chick at EB, she convinced me to stick with Little Big Planet for now and just wait till
Oh, that was a fucking dumb thing for her. She should be fired from her job.
I don't think it was, man.
That was a bad recommendation.
All she did was answer my questions and says what you're looking for.
She led you astray.
I don't think she did.
Little Big Planet, comparing Little Big Planet to fucking Super Mario Maker is I can't even.
No, she said it perfectly. She said you're building the Mario levels of your dreams, and that's pretty much that's the game. That's if you want to build Mario levels, that's what you want to do. I said I want to build a straight up fucking RPG, and she's like, you really can't do that. You can build Mario levels, the best Mario levels you've ever seen. I'm like, oh, okay, you just answered my question. And I was like, it's a completely different thing. I'm building a game. A Little Big Planet, you're building games. In Super Mario Maker, you're Super Mario Maker.
Yeah, but you're building Little Big Planet games.
There's no way I can build an RPG with the can I is there a text log? Can I make a quest log in Super Mario Maker?
No.
Yeah, she said I couldn't. That's there, boom. I don't
RPG Maker.
Yep.
No, Little Big Planet 3's quest log. I can make a full on RPG with hit points and all this sort of thing.
It's apples and oranges. I'm still championing the Wii U. I think that the Wii U really got
No, that's what she overlooked. Said to me. She's like it's apples and oranges. If you want to make Super Mario levels that look like Super Mario levels, which you really can't do in Little Big Planet unless you're the greatest artist of all time. You stick with Little Big Planet 3 because that's what you're looking for. I'm like, yeah, it really sounds that way. I will enjoy Super Mario Maker, but I'm not going to... I don't want to make Super Mario levels. I'd rather play them.
That's what you think.
No. I'd rather
that's the other thing. You could play fucking an infinite supply of the community-rated fucking best. I mean, I have played some Mario levels that are so fucking genius. It's like, okay, this person has a future in game design. And then there's ones that people make where, it's just the title of the level is don't touch anything. And you start and it's completely automated and it's abso-fucking-lutely charming and it just pushes Mario through the level in these crazy ways that you never would have thought of ever in a million years were it not that they put this in the hands of the consumer to make their own. Super, super good. Not as good as Metal Gear Solid 5, but it's a fucking great game that you will find yourself fucking burying hours into.
Oh no, dude, didn't you see my post of all the stuff that's actually not in Super Mario Maker? And I played it, but I was playing with my friend who was trying to direct me through it, and he was ruining the experience for me. And so I really just wanted the controller because I just really wanted to just fiddle around a little bit. And so he was distracting me. So I started asking him, what were the things? I think I asked him about a frog suit.
No, there's a lot that's not there, but...
Well, there's a lot that is there.
No Tanuki suit.
Yeah, no Tanuki
suit. It's the big... It's, it's Fire Flower, fucking Mushroom, obviously. The hilarious Skinny Mushroom, which is appears randomly, the fucking raccoon tail and the feather. Big mushroom? In the propeller hat. Yeah, there's the big mushroom, it's but random, you have to have right? the No, you have to have the fucking 8-bit Mario 30th anniversary amiibo.
Whoa.
Which obviously I do.
That sounds
had to
little,
get that shit.
That sounds a little bit of a cheap move though.
I don't even care. I got a fucking sweet looking amiibo to add to the collection.
I don't know, it feels like a dick move. I don't know. No, well, the thing was, like, I think I asked him about the Yoshi coins of, like, this, or special currency, so that you could at least have two different types of currency, so you could, like, have bonus rooms that you could build that are only unlockable with the currency. He says, yeah, you really can't do that. There's no, it's just the coins. And I was just like, oh, and then I combined a level in theory out of stuff that doesn't exist in the game, and he basically got pissed off with me and threw the controller.
I think that stuff you'll see that in like an update or maybe a sequel.
Probably.
But for now, it's exactly where it's just enough stuff that people can make super fun levels. And I think they'll put that stuff out later for people who are, you know, interested in maybe specializing a little bit more. But for now, it's super accessible. And the stuff that people come up with is ridiculous.
Well, true enough, like in sort of a defense sort of thing, like Little Big Planet, the first game, like the level creation stuff was garbage. If you could create it sounds great in theory when they were talking about it, but then when you put it together, like it was just a mishmash of confusing bullshit. And the level creation tools never got decent until 2 and 3. They're off the fucking chart. But that's why I want to go and pick up Mario Maker, just because I wanted something a little like, just not simple is the wrong word.
Yeah,
it's the wrong word. It's
no, I know what you're saying.
It's just something to sort of get the sort of the heritage of the platform. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And just learn how to platform properly.
That's the thing. Is it's so much harder to make a good level than you initially think. I mean, there's so much going back and like filing off edges and figuring shit out. Like I don't even play somebody's level if it's fucking stupid. Like if there's, you know, if you get trapped into a fucking, you know, whatever, like a corner, and you can't do anything, like, well, I'm never playing a level again. I quit. Fuck you. Yep. Learn to be a better designer. I always put 2 paths to the finish in each one of my levels.
That seems like a smart move. Is one of them a little more advanced, and one of them
exactly.
kind of
well,
the
that's what I, one of the things that I always loved. Remember the first time you played Mario and you fucking you jumped and you hit a fucking invisible block and a vine grew up and you're like, holy fuck, there's an entire like world of magic in the sky.
Wow. Yeah,
and there's coins everywhere. Wow, coins. Yeah, there's fucking clouds and I'm running on them. Holy shit, this has a fucking x-axis. Holy fuck. Yeah, that's what I like to do.
Yeah, every level that I'd ever build would be one of those eventually at some point where you just go off and there's like this whole other next shit that you didn't know. Because like the sense of discovery, I would literally spend hours in every Mario level looking for invisible blocks, you know, thinking that there was always this invisible world somewhere below or above that I just never saw before. Because I, you know, you think about Super Mario Brothers, and it's you almost can kind of dismiss it. But then when you start thinking about it, it actually, every iteration 1, 2, and 3, they did weird things that would just blow your mind that you just weren't expecting in a platformer.
Uh huh.
Like in 2, when I fell vertically, I was like, "Whoa! I didn't know games could do this." you know, so like, it's just little things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we can call it. We put in our.
I think this is our first hybrid episode.
It kind of was, yeah. Backlog only.
I didn't mean for that to happen. I'm sorry about that.
I like
Invite Infinite.
I get passionate.
No, no,
Mario.
It worked. This is the mashup. Backlog only. All right, so. Yeah, well, let's just wrap it up. This was Backlog Only, Invite Infinite, and I was your host, The Jaded Gamer. And you can find me on Twitter, IMFN2K. Email me, IMFN2K@gmail.com if you want to handle that. PSN, Xbox Live, same tag. Thank you for listening. Wes,
where can you find me? WeskerJ on Twitter. Yeah, hit me up there. Shout out for Seth for showing up. I'm talking Metal Gear, a bunch of Metal Gear nerds.
Oh, anytime.
I hope you play 3, man.
What about...
You can join our podcast.
I can plan on it. Oh, man.
And what about Seth? What about you, Seth? We can find you writing randomly on the internet.
Yeah, you can find a bunch of stuff that I do for IGN. I do freelance news, and I got a whole ton of features, and I am fucking pretty thrilled that I have written two scripts for video features.
Oh, right.
That are coming up that have to do with little game series maybe you've heard of called Halo.
Oh, snap.
Yep. So I'm pretty fucking amped that I'm like writing scripts for videos now. So keep an eye out for that. Halo 5 is coming out, so they're going to have like a fucking blitzkrieg of just Halo content, and mine will be in there. So please follow me on Twitter at Seth Macy, and we can talk and be friends.
Yo, honestly, Seth, nothing beats the fact that, like, because I'll randomly rip on video game headlines, and not once have I ever just, like, at least not to my knowledge, have I, like, randomly just saw a stupid headline and been like, this is dumb, and then clicked on it and seen, like, Seth G. Macy. Like, that's always been my nightmare, like, to rip on one of my buddies.
No.
I don't think I ever
That would be my nightmare, too, because that means I wrote a shitty headline, and I do take, you know, great pains to make sure that I have a headline that's going to not insult the reader's intelligence, but at the same time is going to make them like interested and want to click on it, but not seem like clickbait.
It's worked quite a few times. Like, I'll just, because I click on IGN and there's a something happened over at Destructoid. I don't know what happened over there, but they went real weird, so they're not on my list of likes anymore. But like IGN and Lazy Gamer are my go-tos for just solid straight ups reporting fucking news. So like I'll see something from IGN and I'll click on it, and it always blows my mind when you wrote it. I'm like, I should have known Seth to be on this.
Oh, thanks, man.
That's so right on. All right, so that's been our show. We hope you all enjoyed it, and I guess that's all that needs to be said. I'm out. Yeah.
Peace, Walker.
Come back when you got some money, buddy.
There it is. And that's good. And that's a wrap.